Backyard Sportsline on WBAL. Brett Hollander with the head basketball coach at Towson University, Pat Scarry. We're also with the voice of the Tigers and Ravens and the TV director, of course, at WBAL, Jerry Sandusky. And we have not had a chance to talk about this on air yet, Coach, but the bid situation in the CAA, we talked about a lot leading up, and Drexel not getting in, probably one of the two or three most talked about bubble teams that did not get in. Your thoughts on that and the fact of the CAA getting just one?
Well, you know, I certainly thought Bruiser Flint and his team were good enough to, you know, not only be in the tournament, but win a couple games. You know, they obviously, I guess, got penalized for their non-conference strength of schedule. I don't know who they could or couldn't have played. But then certainly in the league, I'm not sure. First year through the league, they only played VCU, Old Dominion, and Mason once. We played all those teams twice. So, we need to look at it as a conference to make sure that the teams that are seeded high or picked high play each other. That's something to me that's absolutely within our control. I don't know why it wasn't. We'd have to ask the conference that.
The CAA is a strong enough conference that it should be two teams in the tournament every year. It shouldn't be the fluke, the anomaly, the asterisk, the years that you get two teams in there. That should be every year. And I think scheduling at the commissioner level, at the highest levels of the conference, has to look out for the conference, not just for the teams and not just using computer-generated scheduling and following a certain pattern. I think the conference has to take a look at that and say, hey, this is these are the five teams that have the best shot at being in the NCAA this year, and making sure all five of them have strong enough strength of schedule to ensure that if they play to their capabilities, they'll get, if not the bid, the at-large bid.
Well, I agree with you. And, you know, obviously I guess someone might come back and say, well, we'll use Towson, for example. Well, you know, you guys only won one game, and that brought their RPI down, and that's factual, except that I don't know many schools or conferences that try to schedule at-large bids by saying the team that was picked in 12th, we better make sure we play the first-place team, plays them twice. To me, that's a little bit of a different philosophy.
Right. You know, the team that is projected to be 6th wants to play the team that's scheduled ranked 12th twice, not the team that's projected to be 2nd or 3rd.
Yeah, like I said, coming from the Big East, I like the way the Big East did it. They tiered it, and teams in the top tier played at two of those type of games against each other, and they played one team from the bottom tier, and the team in the bottom tier played had two of those games against similar tier, and then one team from the top tier. I thought there's a reason why the Big East gets a lot of bids.
I know you're going, as we mentioned before, to New Orleans tomorrow, and you're going to have a great time going to dinner. Bill Murray will be there, all these fun, exciting things. But all the coaches go to the Final Four. What else goes on there?
Well, the National Association of Basketball Coaches, we have our convention there, so there's a lot of professional development seminars, not just Chalk Talk stuff. But
like what?
Well, there are Chalk Talk stuff, but there's also stuff on, contracts, scheduling. There's a Division I head coaches meeting where certain topics come up. They have the same for Division II and Division III, assistant coaches meetings, a lot of committees. And then the NABC has their awards banquet, their all-star game. It's they really do an unbelievable job of tying it in. It's a lot of coaches come in today, Wednesday, and then roll out as the weekend gets going.
Do you stay for the games?
I'm going to the game Saturday. I won't be there Monday. We'll be back for workouts.
And and it was 1 year ago where at the Final Four you met up with Mike Waddell, the AD at Towson, and you guys got to talking, right?
It was a great weekend.
And that is a big part of this weekend, is networking, so that you get to know different guys that maybe you're going to want to hire as an assistant coach 2 years from now or 3 years from now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think and you know, now where I'm sitting, I mean, you're always paying attention to how a guy dresses, talks, acts, carries himself. You got to always have kind of be on the radar for that thing.
It's amazing how once you're the head coach, those things really do matter, and you want everybody to be paying attention. And you know, when even you know, 7 years ago, 6 years ago, when you're still focusing as an assistant on the X's and the O's, you're not paying attention to the whole package, which is what athletic directors are looking at.
There's no question about that. And, you know, they'll say sometimes one chance to make a first impression.
That's it. And obviously you made the right impression.
Well, we hope so. We'll see.
No regret a year later, right, Coach?
No, not at all. I'm more jacked up than I've ever been, especially with, like I said, we've you know, turned the page with some workouts and some of the guys that were sitting out and get going with them and stop barking at them. And it's been healthy and it's exciting.
Well, I do want to ask about these games coming up this weekend. Do you have a favorite in the Final Four here?
Well, you know, we obviously don't bet on games. It's against NCAA rules. But I think Kentucky's going to be very very difficult to beat.
I like Kansas for a very selfish reason. If Kansas wins, I win the office pool. I've never won the office pool before, so that could be huge clout for me.
Is Thomas Robinson the best player left in this tournament?
Him and the kid Anthony Davis from Kentucky. I like Thomas Robinson. I knew the kid a few years ago and before he blew up in that summer. I was actually recruiting him at Providence. He played for a small AAU team called Squash All Beefs. That was the name of his AAU team. Little
nice.
Trivia.
Sounds like a baseball fantasy team.
Yeah. He is an absolute warrior, that kid.
I've seen him play in person. He can do anything you need done on a basketball court. He can shoot from beyond the three. He can drive. He had one play against you, and I've seen him do this 12 times a season, where he went up, cleared the ball off the glass, one hand, brought it down, dribbled the ball to the middle of the court like a point guard, and then no-look pass dished it to one of the big guys crashing on the wing. I mean, he's and it wasn't like anybody was dogging it. He's that fast. He's that fluid. He's that rare of an athlete. So I'm going Kansas.
He's a matchup challenge.
He really is. I don't think
Can you scheme that one?
I don't think he is a challenge, because as a head coach, you look at him and say, Matt, we can't match up with him. Next.
Who's the best game coach in this tournament left?
Patino.
Really?
Yeah, he's really good. That's no slight on the other guys, because they're obviously very good, too.
And when you look at a game coach, what do you look for that separates? Because let's face it, everybody at Final Four level knows what they're doing. But what do you see the little things in clock management, game management, bench management that make you think, okay, this guy is a cut above most guys?
I think where they're trying to take advantage of certain matchups offensively, and then maybe how they change their ball screen defense. And I think the thing I'm interested in is Patino has no pressure on him, and he's embracing the fact that Kentucky is the heavy favorite and throwing all that pressure on them. And I would like to see that game be tight in the last 6-7 minutes just to see how that unfolds.
When you watch a basketball game at any level, but particularly college hoops, do you work the matchups and everything out in your head as it's playing out on the floor?
Yeah, absolutely. I went up to the Big East tournament to watch some games, and one, it was good to see other guys have some stress and just sit back and enjoy it. I had really good seats. That was a lot of fun. I called my wife and said, this head coaching thing's pretty good, minus the games.
Yeah. If you're in row three, you can make a lot of great decisions with no ramifications.
I coached my tail off that day, Jerry.
What about the kid Sullinger at Ohio State?
10-12-year pro. I mean, efficient,
really?
Strong, a Kevin Love type of guy, just great feel, soup to nuts, great guy to have around an organization.
Thad Matta is really the black sheep of this group, the head coach of Ohio State, but he seems to win every year since he stepped on the campus of Columbus.
Yeah, and I mean, and they can win. They certainly, I think they'll probably be favored over Kansas, and could probably make the argument they have the second most talent in the tournament. So they're really good. I mean, they're recruiting at an elite level year in and year out.
But there's one of those cases when you are at a football school, you could probably win the national championship every third year, and you're still never going to be the big program on campus. At some point, that has to grate on a coach.
Yeah, no, or that you're just enough under the radar that they're never head on.
Looking
for
to
you.
Take care.
That's a good point.
I suspect that a school that big with that much attention, they're always looking for you to do big things.
Now, you got to see Patino coach closely in the Big East. Was he, we're talking about a conference that's Jim Boeheim, Jim Calhoun.
I thought he was a cut above everyone else.
Really?
I thought they scouted well. I told this to my wife a couple times. We played them in a game we needed to win to get in the tournament at Providence my first year there, and we played our tail off to, get it to 10 or 8 at the half, and walking into the locker room, the old Madison Square Garden, before they fixed the entrances this year, you walked in and out the same way. He jackhammered the kid Earl Clark, who was a lottery pick, like nothing I've ever heard. In his face, they were up 10. I said to one of the other guys on staff, said, we're going to get hammered here in the second half. I mean, so he coaches those guys hard. He does. He coaches those guys hard. He gets the most out of his kids. He does.